Hi, this is John Galloway. I'm going to give you a quick tour of ASP.NET 5 Release Candidate 1. To start with, I want to explain where ASP.NET 5 fits with ASP.NET in general. So, we just shipped ASP.NET 4.6 in July on top of Visual Studio 2015. ASP.NET 4.6 runs on top of the full .NET framework that runs on Windows, and that includes support for ASP.NET, along with some other things like desktop applications. We're introducing ASP.NET 5. ASP.NET 5 also runs on top of that same .NET framework, so the same framework that supports ASP.NET 4.6 will also support ASP.NET 5. However, you have another option. ASP.NET 5 runs on top of a new .NET Core. This is .NET Core 5, and that is cross-platform. So whereas the .NET full framework, .NET Framework 4.6, runs on Windows, .NET Core is a targeted subset of .NET to support ASP.NET 5, and it runs on Windows, Mac, and Linux. ASP.NET 4.6 and .NET Framework are supported by Microsoft, and we're continuing to invest in them. Just in July, we shipped support for some great features like HTTP2 and async model binding. ASP.NET 5 is completely open source. So whereas portions of ASP.NET 4.6 were open source, the entire stack for ASP.NET 5, all the way down to hosting and the framework, are open source. So not only can you get the code, but you can look at commits, you can make pull requests, and you can contribute to ongoing development. Now, to get ASP.NET 5, you're going to go to get.asp.net. Here I'm running this on Windows, and so you'll see that I have install for Windows buttons. If you run this on Mac or Linux, you'll see contextualized buttons that show you the downloads that you'll want to run for Mac or Linux. Now, this was a pretty quick download and a pretty quick install for me. It should install in just a couple of minutes for you. If you need help on installing it, I recommend that you check out the new docs site. This is docs.asp.net, and it includes walkthroughs on installing for Windows, Mac, and Linux, as well as a lot of other information, including some tutorials and deeper information on things like security and performance. So now that I have ASP.NET 5 RC1 installed, I'm going to create a new project. So all I'm going to do here is I'll say new project. I'm going to use the ASP.NET template. And from this list, I'm going to select ASP.NET 5 web application template, leave the defaults, and let it rip. So this creates a new project for me, and you'll see that it's restoring packages. An ASP.NET 5 application is completely based on NuGet packages, so it's going to need to pull all those in. So now that that's set up, I'm going to hit Control F5 and take a look at the application. So here's my app. It's a basic project template. I've got here a home page. It's got a carousel that I can click through and customize. I've got an about and a contact page. And then I've got a register and login for some basic user authentication and setup. So if you've done ASP.NET MVC development before, this should look pretty familiar. So let's go in and make some changes. I'm going to create a new model. So I'm going to create a person class. And for this model, I'm going to give it an ID, a first name, and a last name. So there we go. Now I'm going to go in and I'm going to scaffold a new MVC controller. Select Add Controller. And I'm going to use an MVC controller with views using Entity Framework. Now I'm going to select the person class for my model. I'm going to create a new context, and I'm going to leave the defaults. This is going to create a new controller class for me, along with views to create, read, update, and delete people from my person controller. So here's my people controller. And you'll notice it's got things like details and create and read, update, delete, etc. An interesting thing to notice, and we've got more information when you dig into the documentation, but we have support for constructor injection all throughout ASP.NET and MVC. So here we're doing things like injecting our context using that DI setup. Here's my views. So if I go into the people folder and I take a look at my index view, this is going to show a list of person items. So here we see that it's going to loop through and it's going to display them. You'll notice we've added a new feature here, and this is tag helpers. So here I have an A tag, this is an anchor tag. However, I'm binding it to an action, so this is an MVC action. So here I say ASP-action equals edit. So what that's going to do is it's going to display an anchor tag in HTML, and it's going to wire that up to the edit action in MVC. So now let's take a look at my app. If I go in here and I select people, you'll notice that I've got my list of people. And if I go in here and do something like create new, you'll see I can go in and say my name. Now let's take a look at this edit tag. Remember we showed that tag helper that had that ASP action. So let's go and view source. So if we dig into that, you'll see here, this actually wires up to Ahref and it has just the link. So this is standard HTML. So my tag helper here is rendered out as standard HTML here. So it's just a nice clean syntax where I can use all the standard features that I'd expect in Visual Studio, but it's going to render that. So that's a nice neat feature that I've got available for me. You'll notice, by the way, that I didn't have to stop and rebuild my application. We've actually got support in ASP.NET 5 for updating, so I can go and make changes to my app and I'll see those changes happen without rebuilding my app. So here I'm going to go into my home controller and I'm going to go to my about view. So let's take a look at about, first of all. And so this says here, your application description page. So I'm going to say you're exciting. And I'm going to save that, but I'm not rebuilding. And now I'm just going to click on my about page again. And you'll notice that it automatically detected that I'd made those changes and rebuilt the app for me. So that's a nice developer productivity feature that we've got built in. Let's take a quick look at the new project structure changes we've made. So you'll see here's my app. We have some new things for you. Number one, you'll see this www root folder. The www root folder includes everything we're actually going to be serving. So this includes all my static content, things like JavaScript, images, and CSS. If it's not in here, it's not going to be served. So that really makes it easy for me to add code and other files to my application with confidence, knowing that only files in www root folder will be served out to the client. We also have a simplified project file. So unlike the csproj file you may be used to that's XML based, we now have a project.json. So this is in JSON format rather than XML. You'll notice this includes all my binary dependencies right here. So these are actually NuGet packages. Every binary dependency I've got here, including things like MVC, is included as a NuGet package. So if I go in here to my references, you'll see here's my .NET Core folder, and there's a one-to-one mapping here between all of these dependencies here and my packages. And I can go in and drill in, and I can see all the sub-dependencies that these expand out to, all the way down to the core framework. So you'll notice here I've got nodes for both the full framework and .NET Core, and that's because I have both frameworks listed here. If I removed one, I could target just the full framework or just the core. Another thing to notice here is that this does not include a full list of all the files in your project. So we now have a folder-based project structure. Any code that I add into this folder is automatically included in my project. So that's my project JSON, and that kind of says what I'm including in my project. In order to change how my application behaves, I'm going to use Startup CS. So you'll notice there's no web config file in my application. Instead, I'm wiring up things using a C# file, so it's code-based configuration. So the nice thing with this is that, number one, I can make changes at runtime based on things. So I can say, if I'm in development mode, then turn on local user secrets. And so that allows me to change how my application runs in different environments or based on other code. Another nice thing here is that I can debug this. This is actual code, and so I can set a breakpoint, run it, and find out why my application is behaving as it is. So the steps here is I've got a startup, I've got configuration where I add some things, and then I configure how they work. So this, for instance, is where I wire up my MVC routes. So we've been looking at ASP.NET 5 running on Windows. I'm going to flip over to Mac and show you how it works outside of Visual Studio. So now I'm on my Mac. You'll notice that when I go to get.asp.net, the site detects that and gives me the appropriate download link for the Mac installer. Now, what I'm going to be showing you here is a very quick overview. If you'd like to know more about installing and building applications on Mac or Linux for DNVM, I recommend that you go to docs.asp.net. Full walkthroughs there, lots more information. So first, before I install this, I want to show that I've got this DNVM manager, that's .NET version manager. So if I go DNVM list, you'll see that I've got some betas installed, but I haven't installed the release candidate yet. So I've got it downloaded, and I'm going to run that. That's an 80 megabyte download. And here I accept the user agreement. I can select if I would like to install additional DNX platforms, which is a more advanced feature. And then I enter my password. And the whole install takes just a few seconds. So now that that's done, I'm going to say DNVM list. And you'll see now I've installed the release candidate version, so this is RC1, and I've got both the core CLR and a mono build. So in Visual Studio, to create a new project, I would do File, New Project. The equivalent here on a Mac is I would say yo to bring up Yeoman, and I would say yo ASP.NET, and that brings up a scaffolder here using the popular open source Yeoman project. And so here I could go through, and we've got tons of different scaffolders for that. But I thought it would be interesting to instead kind of bring this home, and I've actually copied over my projects, my exact project that I showed you earlier on Visual Studio on Windows. So here, that exact same files, nothing different about it. And if I do DNU restore, that pulls down the packages that are appropriate. And now if I do DNX web, that's going to spin up the Kestrel web server, which is our cross-platform open source web server that we've built for ASP.NET 5. So that's spinning up, and you'll see that's running on localhost port 5000. So I'm going to go to localhost port 5000. So here's my application, and if I go to my About page, you'll see here it is. Here's my exciting application description page. So that's all the code that I built running there. Now, to continue editing this code, I could use any editor I'd like to. I've got Visual Studio Code open, and I've got this exact project open. So here I can go in and I can continue editing, build on Mac. So I could build cross-platform, copy these files over, or deploy them to Windows, and everything would continue to work. So that's all the time we have for this overview. For more information, deeper dives, tutorials, etc., I recommend that you check out the documentation site, that's docs.asp.net. To keep up to date with ASP.NET 5, go to asp.net/vnext, and here's where we'll have things like tutorials, latest releases, etc. And finally, for late-breaking news, keep an eye on live.asp.net. We have a weekly stand-up. This is myself, Scott Hanselman, and Damian Edwards, and we take community questions and talk about what's new and what's exciting about ASP.NET. Thanks a lot for your time. I hope you enjoy ASP.NET 5.